That was a whopping reading, wasn't it? Well done. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Let's just pray, and we'll turn to that passage again and think about it this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, that you're a God who speaks, even through the stories of ancient Israel. Speak into our hearts now, we pray, for Jesus' sake and for our growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles again to 1 Kings, if you can find one, that's great. Page 324 in the Church Bibles in the Old Testament section. Well, I don't know whether you find this, but people love to tell you where they've been and that you really should go there. So I remember years ago, everyone was talking about the London Eye. Steve, have you been on the London Eye? I said, no, I haven't. You really should go. Time and time again, they kept saying, you must do it. And that is what I did. We went to the London Eye. I'm doing the clicking today, so here we go. Oh, it works. Fantastic. Who's been in the London Eye? Anyone been in the London Eye? It's quite slow, isn't it? But it's all right. It's okay. But now people are saying to me this. Steve, have you been on the Shard? Have you been on the Shard? Look at the London Eye in the background. It's tiny. Can you see it? It's pathetic. It's more prices to go up in the Shard, apparently. But anyway, who's been in the Shard? Anyone? Classy quality, that's pretty impressive. But people love to say, have you been, you should go, you must go. So hopefully one day I'll go up the Shard. But it's a bit like that in Potter's Bar during the Olympics. During the Olympics, 2012, people were camping in people's gardens, bringing their caravans to stay because they were desperate to get down to the Olympics. And after, was it Super Saturday? That's what it was called. People turned up the church the next day saying, we were there. We were there, and it was amazing. We all felt jealous because we weren't there. And we wanted to be there. And people said, you must go if you can go. So we got tickets for the Paralympics, and they were absolutely outstanding. Mo Farah and Usain Bolt weren't there, but it was the most exciting day we had as a family. It was just amazing, better than we could have imagined. Well, imagine you're living the time of Solomon, and what are people talking about? They're talking about King Solomon. Not the Shard, and not the London Eye, not the Olympics, but King Solomon. He was extraordinary. He was an extraordinary man. People talked about the glory and the wealth and the splendor of this king, his riches. He was a guy whom God had richly blessed in many ways, and he's drawing a crowd. So chapter 10, verse 1, we see he draws other royalty to come and see him. Chapter 10, verse 1, we see that the Queen of Sheba has heard about King Solomon, the fame that's come to him due to the name of his God, the Lord, and she's come to see what's going on. King Solomon was a must-see man. He was a must-listen-to man. He was a must-go-and-visit man. And I wonder, as you heard that long passage read this morning, what were you struck by? Were you struck by the opulence and the wealth and the riches of King Solomon in his kingdom? If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you saw that God, back in chapter 3, once Solomon was made king, was asked, what do you want, Solomon? And Solomon prayed for wisdom. Give me wisdom. And God said, I'm going to give you that. But also I'm going to give you this as well. Listen to what he said, chapter 3, verse 13. I give you also what you've not asked for, both riches and honor all your life. No other king will compare with you. And this chapter gives evidence that God kept his answer. He answered what Solomon said. He gave him wisdom plus wealth and riches. And the chapter split into two bits. Verses 1 to 13 is what the Queen of Sheba saw. And then verses 13 to the end is what the narrator is saying. The Queen of Sheba says, this is amazing. And the narrator says, wowzers, have you seen all this stuff? It's incredible. He's a remarkable, remarkable king. You see, when the Queen of Sheba turns up, she is lost for words. At the end of verse 5, we see that little phrase, there was no more spirit in her. That's not talking about her penchant for alcohol. That is talking about the fact that she was lost for words. She was lost for breath. She saw all of Solomon's glory and she's just lost for words. Ever experienced that? Maybe an amazing view you've seen, or a safari you've been on, or a building you've been to and you walk in and you see the ceiling is painted and you think, goodness me, this is extraordinary. I'm just lost for words. That's how she felt when she saw Solomon's riches. It's extraordinary. And then we see that actually he answered all of her tricky questions. He was wise as well. It was amazing. And what's extraordinary is that often people say, you've got to go and do this. And you go, and it's not quite as good as they say, is it? But actually for her, it was better than she imagined. Verse 7, but I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. Not even half had been told me. Your wisdom and prosperity far surpass the report that I have heard. It's better than I could have imagined. It's extraordinary. And this lady here, she's clearly got a bob or two. She's a wealthy lady. She's not poor. Have you spotted the bling she's brought with her? Verse 2. She had a very great retinue with camels bearing spices. They were pricey. And very much gold and precious stones. She comes with these extravagant, lavish gifts for the king because she can, because she's wealthy herself. And yet, when she sees the wealth of Solomon, her breath is taken away. Wow. And he answers all her questions, verse 3. Wow. And she's impressed, verse 4, with his house. Verse 5, with his food, the seating of the officials and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his valet, like Mr. Bates on Downton. He had a valet. Wow. Amazing. And after hearing what the Queen of Sheba sees, the writer just ladles it on in buckets. Verse 14, gold. Verse 16, large shields of gold. Verse 17, 300 other shields made of gold. Verse 18, a great ivory throne overlaid with the best gold. Verse 21, all of King Solomon's cups were made of gold, not silver. Nothing from IKEA. All from Harvey Nicks or Harrods. It was the best. And verse 32, his fleet of boats. Amazing boats. They bring gold, verse 22, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Imagine that, apes and peacocks. He had the lot. And the narrator is just slapping it on thick. Richness beyond measure, wisdom like no other, an amazing ruler and king who really did live in history, King Solomon, king over God's people Israel. Wow. And look at the narrator's testimony, verse 23 and 24. Thus, King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. The whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind. There was no one like Solomon. You get that? He was the king of kings. He was the greatest king in the whole world. He was the king over God's people. He was amazing. Now, as you read this chapter, what does the writer want us to see as we read these facts of history about King Solomon? Well, surely he wants us to see, first of all, this. We've had the gold, I missed that. The splendor of the king. He wants us to see how amazing King Solomon was and where this king points us. Where he points us. This chapter gives us a magnificent picture of King Solomon, who sits on the throne of his father, David. And you remember what David told his boy Solomon many years before? He said, one day, son, you'll sit on this throne. And one day on this throne will come a king who will rule forever and ever and ever. King David pointed forward to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus. He is from David's family line. And he is the king that King Solomon points us forward to. And do you know what? King Jesus is even more glorious and spectacular than this king. And he takes your breath away. You see, the glory, the wealth, the wisdom of King Solomon points us to the king who exceeds and excels and surpasses King Solomon. I mean, if Solomon is impressive and we're going amazing, how much more is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who died and rose again and is alive in heaven right now? You see, you get to Matthew's Gospel and you read this. Matthew 12:42. Something greater than Solomon is here. That's what it says. Speaking about Jesus, something greater than Solomon is here. That's true. He made all things. He owns all things. He made all the gold. He made all the silver. He made the baboons. He made the peacocks with the glorious feathers. He created it all, and it belongs to him. That is the glory of King Jesus. And Philippians 2, that Mark spoke to us at the beginning of the service, speaks about God the Father exalting, that is, putting up high, the name that is above every name, that at the name of King Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is the King, the greatest King, the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And will we see this morning, in chapter 10, in the riches of King Solomon, in the breathless wonder of the Queen of Sheba, in the excellencies of the king described by the narrator as the crowds gather from all over the world, the splendor of the King of Kings. All scripture whispers Jesus' name. Every story in the Old Testament points to the King who comes, King Jesus. Will we see the splendor of the King Jesus? Will we worship him as our King and our Lord? The one far greater than Solomon is here. He has come and he's alive and he reigns today. He left the glory of heaven and he lived the perfect life, beautiful life, humble life. In his love, he washed the feet of dirty people, dirty feet. He welcomed the outcast. He willingly walked to the cross where he died for our sins. And he dies our death and he rises again. And we see this King, and don't we want to say, if we know him, hallelujah, what a Savior, what a King, greater than King Solomon, who surpassed all the kings of his day. He left them behind. And this King, Jesus, should make us our slaves. We should be his slaves, but he came to make us his friends. Will we thank him? Will we praise him? Maybe if you're a Christian this morning, I wonder how your heart is this morning. How are you feeling about Jesus? Is it cold? Is it lukewarm? Or are you excited by Jesus? Whenever I get lukewarm or cold, you know what I do? I pray that God will make my heart warm to Jesus again. I love to read the Gospels and see Jesus afresh in the glory of Christ. I love to read old hymns. And I love to listen to worship music to stir my heart to love Jesus and see him as he is. The splendor of the King. Will we pray, Father, give me a greater vision of Jesus. Help me to worship him. Help me to point to him and love him. So firstly, the splendor of the King. Secondly, the heart of the King. Did you spot the geography in the passage? Did you see that the Queen of Sheba travels 10 verse 1, to see the King? She's not an Israelite. She doesn't live in God's kingdom. She's not a Jew. She travels as a Gentile to visit the King. And again, look at verse 24. The whole earth, people from all over the world, sought the presence of Solomon. People traveled to visit King Solomon. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. You see, the news had rung out across the world about the glory of King Solomon, and people had to get there and to see it. They wanted to see this King. The point is, the wisdom and the wealth and the glory of King Solomon was like a magnet that attracted people to it, that attracted people to the God of Israel as they saw the glory and the wisdom of the King. And that is the heart of King Solomon. Do you know, that's what he prayed would happen. Back in chapter 8, after the temple has been built, after the Ark of the Covenant has gone in, there's a big prayer from Solomon. And he expects non-Israelites to come and visit the kingdom and to visit the king and the temple. And King Solomon prays this, chapter 8, verse 43. He prays that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel. That is King Solomon's heart. That expresses the heart of God, that all people, whoever they are, whatever nationality they are from, would come to the King and come in to the kingdom of God. And we see royalty come, people of the earth come. They're drawn to King Solomon because of the Lord. And can we see that was the heart's beat of the king back in chapter 8? He prayed for it and he welcomed it. And of course, I said it will point us forward always to the heart of King Jesus, who came for all sorts and all types of people. Whatever their background, whatever their nationality, whatever they've done, whatever they've not done. Do you remember what happened when he was just a baby? The wise men. They travelled from afar, didn't they? They came and they brought their gifts, like the Queen of Sheba, to the King of Kings. It was always God's plan that people of all nations would come. All tongues would come. We'll be a part of the forever people of God. Jesus said in John 6, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. Whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. The King of Kings says, come to me and you'll get a right royal warm welcome. Isn't God's grace and welcome fantastic? When I see my own heart and my sinfulness and the stuff I've done wrong and I'm ashamed of, and I see the welcome of King Jesus, he welcomes me. He welcomes me. And we see that foreshadowed in King Solomon. The heart of God, the heart of King Jesus, that all nations should stream and come to him. And if we're Christians this morning, we're part of that. And we should say, thank you, Lord, for your heart of welcome. I had the joy this week of going to visit one of the youth groups here at All Saints 24/7. It's Tuesday night, lots of chips and the vicar's testimony. It was a glorious night. The chips were the highlight, actually. But I was telling them about some of the wonderful characters that I've met over the last 10 years as a vicar of another church, and how many, many people came to Jesus and received his welcome. Let me give you a list of the people who came, all sorts of people. The cocaine addict, the vet student, the illegal immigrant, the ex-con, the university professor, the car mechanic, the florist, the schoolgirl, the MI5 lady, the grandmother, the Mormon, the child prodigal. All came to Jesus during my time there. Very different people, different stories. And Jesus, do you know what? Delighted to welcome them all. Loved them all, whatever they'd done, whatever their past. He is for all people. And we see the Queen of Sheba is drawn to the king. As we see, all sorts of people are drawn to him. And we see that Solomon's prayer, his heart, people might come to know the Lord through him, came true. It's a great picture of Jesus' heart, isn't it? What he wants for us and our hearts as God's people. There's no one in our lives who is beyond his love. No people group in the world who will not be welcomed by Jesus. No neighbor or colleague who cannot be welcomed by Jesus. All these brilliant pictures of Christ, the splendor of the king, the heart of the king. Let me finish off by giving you the warning of the queen. The warning of the queen. You see, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks about the Queen of Sheba. He talks about her. He says that one day we will all meet her and see her. Let me read it to you. It's on the screen. Matthew 12:42. Jesus is speaking here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And see, something greater than Solomon is here. You see, one day Jesus will wrap up the world as we know it. He will call time and he will judge the living and the dead, because he is God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on that day he will decide the eternal destiny of us all. As one songwriter powerfully put it, either the joy of heaven or the fear of hell. And on that last day, when Jesus returns, we will stand before him, each of us, and he will say to us, what have you done with me? What did you do about me, the King of Kings? Did you welcome me? Did you receive my free offer of life and forgiveness and salvation that I died for you to make possible and rose again? And will we say, well, actually, I was too busy. I had no time. I wasn't really interested, to be honest, or... And actually, on that day, it would be too late. And Jesus says, the Queen of Sheba will be there. And she will stand condemning people who have not responded to King Jesus in their life. Because she did it as a complete outsider. She will say, what? I came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, and you have rejected the one who is greater than Solomon, King Jesus. You see, Solomon just foreshadowed the king. See, someone greater than Solomon is here. She'd be amazed. She'd be horrified. You had Jesus and you rejected him? You did what? You see, in this passage in Matthew 12, Jesus rebuking the unbelief of Israel who rejected King Jesus. And he tells this story about the future with the Queen of Sheba to wake them up. Because today is a day of God's mercy. It was not too late for them to turn to Christ. Christ has not yet returned to judge the world. But he will. And Queen of Sheba warns us in this verse, don't leave it too late. Don't leave it too late to respond to Jesus and the life he wants to give you. The Queen of Sheba will be there. She welcomed God's king. She trusted the Lord. Will we come to Jesus today for the first time, maybe? And come to him by faith. See him as the glorious king he is, his splendor, and bow before him, offering our lives to worship him. Did you spot what King Solomon does for the Queen of Sheba? Chapter 10, verse 13. She's about to leave and go back to her own land. And she's had an audience with the king. And it says this: meanwhile, King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba every desire that she expressed. He gave her all the wisdom she needed, as well as that what he gave her out of Solomon's royal bounty. He gave her stuff. He shared his bling with her, his wealth with her. She took it away. And you know, when we come to Christ by faith, we bow at his knee, we bow on our knees before him, and he gives us his riches, his wisdom, his forgiveness, his pardon, his peace, his hope, his love, and a sure future. He gives that freely to us. Now, why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want that for us, for our families, for our children? Don't do nothing about it. Every week I'm shocked by the celebrities who are dying. We've lost so many this year. And it's kind of like a challenge to us, isn't it? Life is frail. Eternity will come. Will we be ready? Don't do nothing about it. You might want to find out more. Take a little booklet. There's loads on the way out. Why Jesus? The real Jesus. Two ways to live. Just take it and read it. Grab me and talk to me. I'd love to lead you to the King of Kings, that you might have life and be ready for the day that the Queen of Sheba wants us to be ready for. Hey, this last week we've seen, haven't we, that people love meeting royalty. We've seen that, haven't we? The Queen's birthday, 90 years old, walking around like a 60-year-old. Looking fabulous in that hat with the lemons on and meeting people, you know, and then like all these crazy people from all over the world queuing up all night. Two mad people from Wales. I had to look to see whether they were my family or not, but they weren't. Meeting the Queen with their hats and their dresses and looking fabulous. And then she met all these non-agerians, 90-year-old people lined up to meet the Queen, and they were saying, oh, it was amazing. She was so lovely. I can't believe I've met the Queen. And then Barack Obama came to share his wisdom for life. And then he meets the Queen. He gets to go for a chest of the world ride of adventure with the Queen's husband in the car driving. And then he gets to meet the future King and King George. People love meeting royalty. We love it. Do you know, we can meet the King of Kings. And we can know the King of Kings as our friend in our hearts, in our lives. He is my best friend. I came to know him as a boy of 9. He's changed my life forever. He is my Lord, my King, my Savior. What a joy. Well, we see in our passage this morning from God's Word the splendor of King Jesus, the heart of the King, and the warning of the Queen. Let me just pray. Loving Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful historical piece about this king who really lived and people were drawn to him. And we thank you that Scripture, in every story, it whispers the name of Jesus. We praise you for King Jesus. Help us to delight in him. Help us have a heart like his for others to know him. And help us to hear the warning that he gave through the Queen of Sheba to be ready for our end through faith in Christ. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.